Welcome to episode 10 of the GAA Performance Podcast. This is the last episode of our pilot series, and our guest this week is former professional rugby player and American football kicker, Tadhg Leader. He talks to us about leader kicking, where earlier this month, two GAA players were offered full D1 scholarships in the US. We discussed the opportunity for GAA players as punters and kickers to receive scholarships worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and to have a crack at a multi-million dollar career in American football. Tadhg predicts that over the next 10 years, there'll have been 100 Irish kickers and punters on D1 scholarships, with 10 making it in the NFL. So what is it that makes Gaelic football and punting a match made in heaven? And how do you go from kicking points and 45s on your local GAA pitch to playing in front of tens of thousands and live on ESPN within a matter of months? Let's find out.
Thanks a million for your time, Tadhg. I know you're back from a busy week. Thanks so much.
Not a bother. Looking forward to chatting.
I suppose you could just get us started off telling us about your own background, rugby, American football, and kind of what brought you over to America and what brings you to now.
Yeah. For me, so I grew up in Galway in a place called Castlegar. So like hurling and Gaelic football were my primary sports. And then up to like, say 16 is when rugby kind of had to make a decision when it started to get more serious. So I went with rugby and then went through the Connacht system, played Irish, it was in the Irish underage stuff, went into the Connacht pro team and then left there probably like 22, 23. Moved to the US, actually. I did a stint in Italy, but moved to the US to study because I got my shoulder reconstructed. So I had quite a few injuries, so I thought I was done with that, say professional sports. And then when I was out there just studying in America, loved it, class, great time, good crack, unreal experience. And then professional rugby came along. It was Major League Rugby is what it's called. So got involved with that. I decided my shoulder was healed at this point. So I got involved there for a couple of years, played in that league, started playing internationally for America. And then COVID came along. In rugby, I wasn't a great rugby player. I've said that many times. I was an okay player, but I was a pretty good kicker. So that's what kind of got me through my career. And then people say to try American football, never took it seriously. And then when COVID came along, I just went kicking American footballs one day just to try, just to kill a bit of time, really. One of the lads had a bag of balls and I just went, sure, let me have a crack off that. It's pure as simple as that. And then fast forward like 2 months, I had left my job. I was the captain of the rugby team I was playing for, fly half, just signed a new 2-year contract, had to bounce out on that, which wasn't easy, but thankfully my team supported me because they understood kind of what I was trying to do. And spent 2 years in American football, training in San Diego, trying to make it into the NFL ranks, trying to get a pro contract to play somewhere because I couldn't play in college. I wanted to play in college, but I was ineligible to play in college. So I played in American League, played in the European League, and then the highest I got to is the CFL. So the NFL is the top. Everyone knows the NFL. The CFL is the next one down. Got there last year. And then ever since, got leader kicking up and running, probably like 8-9 months into it now. So that's a pretty short version of my entire sporting history.
Yeah, I think I remember you playing with kind of an absolute bomb of a kick on you. So you're not doing it, you're writing it, or you're playing it down there, but you're still trying to pursue the kicking yourself.
No, I packed that in September, October. I was going to go play, there's a league in America that's actually owned by The Rock, like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, the XFL. Yeah, so a great league, like just proper, it was be well taken care of. So I was going to do that, talking to a team, but then I couldn't get a visa to play. I have a visa to live and play rugby in America. Couldn't get American football is obviously American, so they didn't really know much about the visa. So it was messy. And then I just decided, you know what, on the back of meeting who we'll get into, Ross Bulger and a few other lads, that I realized, like, you know what, this pathway will happen for Irish lads to go play Division I college football. It was obvious. So then I just said, you know what, I'm going to throw myself at this. And I love coaching. I coached a lot in rugby, so I knew I liked coaching and I knew the talent existed. So I thought, you know, the raw materials are here, so why don't I just try and, you know, connect the dots and see if I can make it happen.
And was that, so that's what kind of led to you setting up leader kicking, was that kind of an easy enough decision to make, I suppose, to kind of draw the line and say, I'm not going to try and pursue it myself and I'm going to throw it all into these? Because, yeah, I suppose you would need to be very passionate about coaching and about kind of helping others to do that.
Yeah, I knew I loved, as I said, I knew I loved all those things. And to be honest, and a big part of it, what made it easy as well, was just that, like, I talked to, and I'd been up in the CFL, kicked a game winner on a Friday night, you know, fireworks going off, like, yeah, the stadium's going mad, like, everything, no, unreal. And then I get released on the Monday morning. And I remember just being like, you know, I signed a 3-year contract, but American professional sports is, your contract is, you know, everyone knows the big dogs who are getting all, you know, the big names that everyone knows, they're safe and secure, but 70% of the other lads are not. And I was in that, you know, a large portion of the roster, as they call it, you're not. So you can sign in 2-year, you can be cut the next day. And as a kicker, that's very real. So I went through training camp, had a great training camp. So that's like preseason, I guess. Had the highest percentage success rate. Kick the game winner, no, life's great, I'm going to be sticking on this roster. And I get released, and then the GM told me when he sat me down, was like, look, you couldn't have done any more. And I was like, yeah, I fucking agree, I couldn't any more, like, what? Because I could tell what was coming. But he goes, we just wish you had more experience. Like, at that stage, I played 10 games ever, and I was going up against a guy from Texas A&M, so he was used to playing in front of 110,000 for 4 or 5 years, and I'm big time college football. So I remember saying, you know, we wish I had more experience, but you're too raw to take a punt on. So then basically, you know, fast forward 2 or 3 months, and I started the concept of leader kicking. When it came to the decision to leave behind that, my own career, I was happy with, because I was like, look, I knew at that stage I wasn't going to get to the NFL, because I talked to NFL scouts and they said, you know, we wish you had more of a college career. That kept coming up, college career. And then the CFL, I literally went through training camp and I couldn't have performed better. I knew I wasn't going to do better than what I did. So I felt like, you know what, I gave it a fair crack, and I took it as far as I can take it. But now I know the pathway for how it's going to work, which is college. So that's why I went back and started. So that's kind of how I came to that point. So it was easy enough at that point to you know, move on, I guess.
And I suppose, just kind of before going into kind of the setting up leader kick, and to kind of fast forward to like the week that we've just had with Ross Bolger, if you kind of give us the kind of the condensed version of where we're at in terms of Ross, Ronan, Noah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess firstly, they're all obviously played inter-county. They've all played inter-county minor at minimum. So they're talented players, talented footballers. And but to give you just the last kind of 10 days or so, basically we went on a tour to the US. It was class. Delta Airlines flew us over as first class, like, took unreal care of us. Obviously, we have them as partners, so they're one of the first partners to come on board. So, you know, Ross said himself he felt like he was in a bloody dream, like, we're just being taken care, like, it was just class, you know, flown over to the US. We went to 8 states in 10 days, so from Boston all the way to California and everywhere in between, where we just went to met different college coaches that were interested in Ross and Ronan primarily, because Noah's a year younger. So we went, met the different colleges, saw the campuses, and then went to 2 camps and competed at them, as the Americans would say. You go there and compete. And Ross won both them. Like, when he was up against these, like, you know, American hotshots, who are, you know, seen as the next big thing. And Ross just went in there and banged balls, but he took over, turned heads, got a load of scholarship offers as a result of it. And you know, he accepted one, but his life has utterly changed now, big time. So it's that's a very short version of that.
Yeah, and then Ronan has accepted a D1 offer as well, Ronan Patterson.
Yeah, Ronan's a punter. So Ross is a kicker and a punter. Ronan is a punter only. So he's going to Monmouth in New Jersey. He's going to do his master's degree down there and, you know, play college football. And the same thing, he's a big lad. So the opportunity of playing college football is massive. But then also, if you perform, and then kind of back to my journey, if you perform in college, there's a lot of big things can happen as well. But I'm sure we can get into it. But the college experience alone, I think, is unreal. I experienced US just as a rugby player / student. And, you know, the college football lads you'd see are like, wow, like, you're treated like an absolute king. You have every resource under the sun. We can get into that more later. But it's top level stuff.
So just kind of jump back to when you set up leader kicking and how I know that you had the experience in Aviva, and then you kind of had a call out to players around the country. And is that where Ross and Ronan caught you? Did they contact you? Is that how that came about?
Yeah. They basically just said, reach out, or I'm going to be doing sessions across the country. Just reach out. So I wasn't going to anyone saying, hey, you should try this. I was just saying, look, this is happening. If you want to do it, come. If you don't, that's also fine. And both Ross and Ronan just said, like, they saw it. They knew they could kick. They understood. Well, Ross understood what college football is. He's a fan of the sport. Ronan doesn't have a notion. But he understood, like, from watching TV, college in America seems like good crack. I think that was as much as he knew about it. But that's also fine. He's not going to get to live it. But yeah, just basically, the lads just reached out and they just said they'd give it a crack. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, at least you tried. And that's kind of a mindset that I had about a lot of things in my own career. Was like, I can live with things I can live with things not working out. I'm not getting to the NFL, but I know I gave it a proper try and exhausted it as far as I think I could take it. So that's kind of what I'm saying to people is if you can kick a 45, say, quite easily, or you're the player on your team that is known as has the biggest kick or the most accurate, whatever that might be, potentially there's something here that could, a scholarship's worth a few hundred grand. You know, you're flying bloody private around America, playing in front of major stadiums. Like it's alongside getting the education, it's class. So yeah, I'm hoping those lads are out there. I need to create more awareness of what it is. And pointing to Ross and Ronan now is going to make it much easier, right? Because you can say, look, these lads are living it. So that's what I'm hoping is going to happen now moving forward, get more interest and keep building it.
And were they the only three guys that came out of that kind of where you called for players to come in and to show you what they could do, or is there still more players from that to come?
So I think 350 players, most Gaelic footballers, kind of reach out, sign up online, the emails and things like that. But Ross and Ronan and Noah were the maybe stuck out. Well, a few lads stuck out, maybe 10, 12 lads stuck out, but those two, Ross and Ronan specifically, Noah's less so because he's been really busy with the Dublin Miners at the minute. But Ross and Ronan were both like, hey, like I this seems class. Like, I want to give it a go. So I guess it's one thing being good enough, but for me as well, like you have to obviously, same as Anthony, like, you're getting a scholarship which is worth, as I said, a few hundred grand. So like, they don't give them out willy-nilly. So you have to want to do it and need to actually apply yourself training wise. So yeah, there was more than just Ross and Ronan that were, I think, are good enough, but for whatever reason they couldn't or didn't want to, or just didn't maybe commit to the training the way they needed to. And that's fine. Like, I will never, ever, ever force a lad to go after this because it's class. Like, I shouldn't be here to motivate you. So yeah, so there's talent out there, but I will say, in fairness to some of those lads as well, no one knew what we were doing, including me. You know, at that point, like, I'd be lying if I said this is how it's going to work. I had a vision, I had an idea, but now, thankfully, we do know what we're doing and we've proven it. So, moving forward, I think lads will be able to get on board a bit more. Plus, now we have big sponsors and backing and stuff, which allow me to get around the country. It's quite tough, lads from Clare, a lot of lads in Kerry, actually. You know, it's hard for them to come train in Dublin for this kind of concept. So, which no one knows about. So I think that will also change things and make it a lot more realistic for lads moving forward.
So what's their background then? Ross Bulger played for Laois underage. Was he like, what were the age teams that he was on? And the same with Ronan, would you be able to give us kind of a background into them?
Yeah, I think they're both quite similar. Played the age group stuff, played minors. And then both around COVID were involved with the senior panel. That's kind of my understanding of both the lads. They both definitely played minor and were with the senior team for a period. But to my knowledge, yeah, they weren't necessarily the stars or, just because you're maybe a star footballer, Gaelic footballer, doesn't mean this is going to work for you off the bat either. Like Ross, for example, is very, very good. So he was a free taker, I'm pretty sure, in football, but out of his hands, not off the ground. But he kicks American football off the ground, he rips it. He also played rugby. Guys that kicked in rugby off the ground, that maybe helps a little bit, or guys that maybe would take frees off the ground, that helps a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's you learn by doing, so it is different. But yeah, both the guys, and then I guess Noah, then he's the same now. He's playing double minors at the moment, and he's flying it, in fairness to him. So they were high level players, but like, just, you don't have to have played for your county to do this. You just need to have the kicking ability. You don't need to be fast or dynamic or athletic. It helps, but like, you need to be an accurate kicker who can kick at a good distance, and then has the mentality, the mental strength, or the capacity to deal with the, you know, deal with the pressures, because it's pressurized, the position. That was probably my biggest adjustment, was to learn how to deal with the pressure. And it's very specific. You're only on the pitch for, you know, 1.2 seconds. You kick and then you go sit down again. So you have to learn how to deal with that, cope. So that's a big thing that I kind of do, you know, not a weeding out process, but it's part of the process to seeing who can deal with that and shoulder it.
One of the big profile players on social media and stuff like that was Kieran Archer that you've been working with. Is that still kind of on the agenda, is it? Or because he obviously was a kind of a GA player whose game was completely around his free taking off the ground. So it kind of felt like a natural kind of match.
Yeah, he was really good. The first session I did with him, I was really impressed. And yeah, to be honest, like, that's a good example of someone that has, I think he set up a gym, he opened a gym up in North Dublin somewhere. And then I was kind of getting more focused and just trying to find one or two lads who could train seriously, because I needed to find one or two lads to get scholarships now, like this year. So he's a good example of one of the lads that just, for whatever reason, life, well, I know why, he's really operating a business. But definitely someone that I'd like to circle back to, because he was really talented, and I watched his stuff from in Dublin under 20s in the ladders class. So yeah, that's a good question. I haven't actually, I must circle back there. But again, you have to respect lads have other things going on, and maybe everyone might not want to go to college as well. So you have to factor all those things in. But if they do, that's where I can kind of help.
I suppose with the, like, I wouldn't be an American football expert, but I suppose the kick-in angle of it, as you said, there is, you know, you run on and you run off. So it's very different to, like, obviously for you as well, like you're training and everything. Like you don't need to be, I suppose, as fit aerobically or anything as you would have when you were playing rugby or these lads playing GA. But you obviously you've got massive pressure demands. And then obviously your kicking needs to be, you know, bang on. And also, I suppose, if you mess up, you've these huge guys running at you as well. So, but is there any other, like, there's certain trick plays and stuff like that as well, where you may be required to make maybe run, or is that very rare?
That's rare, but I will say, you know, ideally the lads that I'm working with, they're athletes, because that's part of the sell to these American programs. Is, you know, for example, I send videos of Ronan playing for Cavan, Noah playing for Dublin, you know, making dynamic, you know, runs, getting a 1-2 and then breaking up the pitch, and or just shouldering a lad or catching a high ball. So it's you might necessarily always need that in American football, but it's definitely a huge advantage as a kicker or a punter if they know that you're an athlete. And, you know, for example, as a punter, or if you kick the ball off, there's a chance you have to make a tackle. So, you know, they want to know the lad's not going to get broken in two when someone comes at him. So yeah, it's not essential, but it makes the recruiting side of it, when you talk to a college coach, a whole lot easier. So as I said, like Boston College, a huge college, we're watching clips of Noah recently for Dublin Minors, you know, just kicking good points, or just, you know, just being showing his top end speed, for example. Like, they like that. So ideally you have that already, it would help, but it's not, you can be a not very good athlete and a class kicker, that would also work. But ideally, for what we're trying to do, Division One, you close enough to both is required.
Yeah. And I suppose from looking at it, like from watching the way that the American footballers kick the ball, especially punting, in comparison to how we kick the ball in GA, you can see why a GA player would be very desirable for them. Because I suppose it is fair to say that like I think GA, in terms of kicking the ball out of your hands, is probably there's no other sport that has that skill set as well, in terms of just kicking the ball naturally in different ways out of your feet. You can see that Ross even doing with both feet.
Yeah.
But like, is it something that that like the style is nearly so different in how the GA lads do it that they're kind of almost maybe shocked by it, or they kind of need to see it to believe it? Because yeah, they're very mechanical in how they kind of carry the ball, hold it one leg, and there's very little feel or very little natural movement to it. Would it be fair in saying that, without completely bashing them, but From what I see, it does look like they could do with a good few GAA players to punt for them.
So, I guess the only sport that could be similar in terms of playing and kicking out a hand is AFL, right? And there's over 100 AFL punters in Division One college football today, or has gone through. You want to know why? Because someone just started this same thing I'm doing pretty much. Well, there's differences, but the concept is the same. Took AFL players, got them Division One college football. I said over 100 guys have gone through, and maybe like 8 or 9 have gone through the NFL and the CFL, so gone on to the pros. So the good news with that is, A, it shows foreigners and that side of kicking is desirable, but B, because of they call it a rollout punt, basically, where you kind of would run to the right and kick around your body like you wouldn't get in football, where you're just throwing it over the bar. We don't kick really square. We don't spiral it square. We kick around the corner. Same thing. So now the college coaches are looking for guys who can do a rollout punt, and we are a match made in heaven for it. So our timing's been good on this one as well. This is a sport shifted. 3 years ago, they would have said, what the hell is that? Like, why is he dropping the ball outside his body and he's swinging around the corner? Now they're looking for that. Like Ronan, they love him down in Monmouth, where we got the offer, because he can just, you know, he can punt on that axis, that leg swing. So, yeah, the Americans don't have the same natural swing ability as us. The Australians have shown that there's a different way to do it. And now we're coming along at a good time to, add our flavor to it. And the good thing is the American coaches want it now, because they saw Ross punting right foot, left foot. They couldn't believe that with such accuracy. And then ideally you can spiral the ball as well. But like, if you can do that rollout punt, which any good Gaelic footballer can, like the opportunities of this are like they're big.
Yeah, and I suppose even with the AFL angle or the Aussie rules angle, that like, I suppose you even see that with the compromise rule series, in that I suppose when Ireland play against them, it's normally a clash of their athleticism against our kicking ability. So even with that, they wouldn't really have a kind of a matchup. But I suppose one of the challenges for GAA players, and I suppose this would be something which you'd have a really interesting take on growing up in a GAA area, is that like, it's very hard to convince a GAA lad that there's anything more important than playing for their county team. Like, so have you found that, like, in terms of, I suppose the people who've come to you have had an interest already, but like, is that something you're aware of, that a lot of players kind of, yeah, you're trying to sell this to them, and it might seem like common sense to 99% of people, but to the GAA community, like, playing for your county is up there, and it's very hard to compete with it.
Yeah, and look, like, that's each to their own. The reality is this as well. Say, for example, you do this before you're 20, I don't know, 18 to 23. If you don't go pro, there's still a good chance that you can, if you're as good as you think you are, that you might be able to get a chance to come home and do that anyway. But the reality is this, is that the lads that have come to me, what they see is the lifestyle of going to college in America, and trust me, it's class. But then they see the resources you get with all due respect to Gaelic football. I was in Crow Park, we got a tour there 2 weeks ago, like, and then we're in Boston College last week. You know, it's chalk and cheese. Like, you know, the amount of resources you get, the amount of staff you have, how you're treated as an athlete. Like, is football, I've done a lot of stuff with current all-stars actually that I've met, just who are interested in sport, not necessarily specifically for football, but I've met them for coffees and chatted and stuff. And like, the lads are working hard, literally working and then training, or some of the students in training. Like, in this, you're getting gourmet meals from the moment you wake up. You're getting the best of masseuses and physios. You're flying chartered around the country. You know, you just rock up, everything's kind of done for you. You're playing in these big ass stadiums week in, week out around the country in front of, some big colleges. You can play in front of over 100,000 people. You can now also get paid. Like, you can now get income, NIL, name, image, likeness. So we're doing that with Ross. Like, Ross is going to get a few quid now as well. The opportunity is huge. I think I just encourage people to, like, don't just write it off. I don't think people will write it off, because you're going to see Ross and stuff now soon, that lads are going to be like, Jesus, what, this is possible. I haven't really run into that much yet. And I think as this continues to grow and people understand what college football is, that, like, I I don't think it would take a genius to see at least what the opportunity is. Now, whether or not you want to do that, or like I fully respect and understand how class it is to play for your county. Not that I've played for my county, but the idea of like representing and stuff like that. And if someone wants that, by all means, like go for it. But judging by the 350 odd people in my emails and all the DMs that I have, that I think people are pretty open-minded to this. And the education piece is class, because like it's free. I know you can get it here in Ireland as well, but you can also then, you graduate, you get a 1-year visa to live and work in the US. I did that. Salary's a whole lot higher. Jobs are a whole lot more plentiful. The opportunity, again, is bigger. So, that's my kind of take on it.
Yeah, and I suppose that's what I was going to ask, that in terms of like, when people say, oh, you know, you've got a chance to get a college scholarship, you know, like I said, most top intercounty players, minor intercounty players would get a scholarship here. So in terms of the academic thing, yeah, people might be looking at that. But as you said there, like college sport, like is huge in America. Like there's some people in certain areas, like their team that they would support would be their college team rather than an NFL team. Like for people who mightn't know that, give us an idea of like just how big. It's not like the equivalent of playing Sigerson or something like that. It's absolutely huge.
Yeah. It's like I equate it to the way you're treated is similar to being like a premier. Like I played professional rugby, was treated really well, came through the Irish system. It's way above that again, just because, you know, if you're playing in front of 60 odd thousand multiple weeks a year on ESPN, you know, you're generating hundreds of millions, literally hundreds of millions. College football is, I don't want to say it's a $1 billion business, because I could be wrong, but it's up there. So as a result that you're not playing, you're like the coaches, you know, top programs, coaches are getting paid millions. So the fact that you're not paying the players directly, because they get, you know, the scholarship could be 60 grand a semester, so it could be 300 grand for your 4-year degree, whatever, the value. The fact they're not paying the players, they just pump it into the resources that you get as a player. So like the experience of being a college footballer, the lifestyle, there's a lot of movies even about it, you know, like just like, you know, like, and a lot of it's quite true, where you see like the off the pitch lifestyle, how you're treated is like, it's probably like playing for your county, but on steroids, to be honest, like in the US, like that's probably not a great example. But it's hard to quantify how big it is. But I liken to being like a Premier League footballer in terms of resources, how you travel, how you're treated, the crowds you play in front of, and just like the atmosphere and environments, they're huge. So, I think Ross would be a good lad to ask that question to in 6 months' time or something like that, see how it goes, whatever, playing Leash Miners, to then playing. His first game is in San Diego. I think his third game might be in Hawaii. Like, hard to compete with that.
I suppose in terms of the pathway then from a D1 player to being a pro, is that something that you're kind of looking to facilitate in terms of like connections with NFL? And is that kind of going to be part of Leader Kicking? And then also like just how does it work in terms of like how many D1 teams are there? Like say if you have a very solid stat season as a kicker, how likely is it to get into that roster from being from a top D1 school and stuff like that?
For Ross, for example, like Ross had multiple offers. We chose Idaho State. Why? Well, good people, to be honest. Idaho flew a coach over to Dublin to meet Ross and sit down and talk to him and his parents. Like, that's pretty unheard of. So that was, you know, Idaho is almost the far coast. And up near Canada. But a big reason we chose there is because they play in a big indoor dome and they play at altitude. So I remember saying to Ross, like, okay, you look at Boston College. Okay, you play in front of 50,000 every week versus 15. But you're playing in Boston where it's going to get cold. Their stadium's near the ocean. It's going to be windy. Your stats might get damaged. Your stats will be damaged versus playing in Idaho where you're going to be kicking at altitude in an indoor dome. So like we made that decision for multiple reasons, but definitely factored in the stats to go pro 100%. Like that big part of it, for me, a big part of it. So if he performs, he'll 100% get a shot at going pro. And like, again, it used to be just NFL, CFL. Now it's NFL, CFL, USFL, USFL and the XFL. So there's now 4 legitimate pro leagues where, you know, you can earn minimum, say 100 grand up to obviously millions. So it's not as if, and that's over 6 months. So it's, that becomes, you know, the opportunities have gone through the roof that weren't there a couple, that weren't there 2 years ago even. So yeah, so we do think about that. And I thankfully, through my own journey, I do have good connections. And then, yeah, so the connections exist. And it, but if your stats will do the talking at the end of the day. So that's what I'd say about that. And in terms of how many colleges, it's probably around like 400 colleges that could give scholarship at the D1, maybe like 100, 150. To be honest, I should know this off the top of my head because I read it recently. But it's quite a, and then there's levels to it. You know, ideally, we're told it would take 3 to 5 years to get Irish guys to Division One college football, just because it would take a while to build the name, the brand, and the performance. But thankfully, we shortcutted it and done it in 6-7 months. Moving forward, it's really competitive though. I don't want people to think it's easy. It's not bloody easy. But I do think it's good. Next year, I think realistically, I hope to have 10, 12 guys go, and then just kind of keep building it year on year. But it's competitive, but it is realistic for us because I say to people, it's like a part of, I say to American coaches, it's like part of our heritage, it's like part of our DNA. We all just go up kind of kicking a football. It's just even, we're becoming experts at a skill that we don't even fully consciously know we're doing because we're just passing with the foot, or you just, whatever, you go kick, you're kicking freeze for the crack, whatever. But the Americans don't really do that in the same way. You know, they're throwing basketball, football, base. Like, kicking isn't the sexy position in American football. It is when you kick the game winner and it's great. But like, generally, nah. So the American kids aren't going up doing that. So we're primed to do it. And I truly think we're going to see a huge influx of lads over, well, forevermore, to be honest. I think, you know, just forevermore. I think it's going to be a thing. I think it'll be like the AFL, but more. And I think it's also going to be, the good thing about it is the fact it's going to college and not pro is, you know, a guy gets injured or a guy gets performance drops and he gets cut, and the pro stuff can be quite ruthless. But at least at the college, you only get to walk away with your education, actually have something tangible to take you through the next stage of life. So you can't really begrudge someone that opportunity, I don't think. So I think it'll be less controversial for those reasons, which I think are pretty fair.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that, but that does definitely make sense. And it's kind of, I suppose, easier for someone to go across the, you know, to go across the other side of the world when they've got something a bit more substantial. But the funny listening to you talking about the conditions and the kicking, like, obviously you've experience of that from kicking in the sports ground. But yeah, like with the I suppose you saying about GA players or Irish people just kicking all the time, I suppose that's very similar to if we were to start throwing an American football around. Like, if you were just to get Irish people to start throwing around, they'd need to be laughing at us how we would throw the ball, like the same way we'd probably be laughing at them in the way that they kick it. But I suppose to go back over again the skills involved and the punting. So let's just say when Ross, Noah, Ronan, when they showed up at you know, the first time you met them and you seen that they had kicking ability, like, what was the sort of stuff that you were working on with them to prepare them for this tour? The kind of practice, I suppose, especially for the punting, because I suppose the kicking off the ground is something which is, you know, we have lads that goes across all the sports, I suppose soccer players or rugby players would nearly even be better than the GA lads at that. But the punting is, I suppose, something which really is for GA guys like a massive opportunity.
Yeah, and as I said, that's where the Australians have over 100 lads gone as punters. I don't even know if they have two or three as kickers. They're so the AFL. So what's different is you kind of have two, it depends, but generally speaking, 2.5-3 steps to catch and then get, as they would say, get it off, get your kick off. So it's a bit more exacting that way in terms of your, it's called operation time. So you have to catch the ball and get it gone in 1.2 seconds. So it's not, a talented athlete will do it, but it is fast. So I think getting the lads used to their being 14 yards back from the snapper, so you're catching off a lad 14 yards in front of you, and then being able to take 3 steps, break to the right, and then get your ball drop. Ball drop is the biggest thing. The lads are used to kicking a circle ball, so generally speaking, you know, it's a circular object. It's going to be easier to contact. This is a smaller ball, and it's obviously, you have to contact a very specific part of the ball. So just getting the lads, you get comfortable with the ball drop. But that, again, come from football. We're used to releasing with our right hand for a right footer. We're used to that kind of motion. That was probably something that took to be the most time on punting was getting exacting around her contact or dropping her contact. And then while you're looking at, distance and you're looking at hang time, that's what they judge. And accuracy, sorry, three things. So like, can you consistently drop it in like a 10-yard radius with over 4 seconds of hang, which travels around 55 yards in air? That's generally what they're looking for. So yeah, it's kicking's actually more technical. Because the Americans don't know much about our GAA style of punting because it's new to the game in the last couple of years. So as long as you're putting it where you need to put it with those metrics being met, they don't really necessarily give a whole lot of coaching and points because they don't really know. Because these guys are not kicking coaches, they're football coaches, and kicking's a subsection. Like I'll know way more than most American coaches ever will about kicking, but I know nothing about the rest of the sport. So, you know, we're kind of niche there. And then a field goal is the one that is kicking off the ground. That's more technical because the very first session I did with Leader Kicking was with Sean O'Shea and Shane Walsh, you know, 2 or 3 weeks after the All-Ireland last year. And same struggle I had is our distance to the ball. You know, the lads were 7-9 steps back off the ball, whereas in a game, yeah, American football, you have 2.5 steps. So your relationship and distance from the ball obviously is drastically different. It's half during third. So that's where most lads, like Noah Byrne, he's like, oh, I can't do any 3 steps. And I'm being like, trust me, you'll get there. You just need to put time into it. And eventually you do. But that was probably one of the biggest changes. And then is the swing. In football, rugby, we tend Gaelic football, sorry, soccer, we kind of sometimes can kick and we get, you know, you kick and you stay alive. So your kicking foot comes back to ground, maybe at hip height. Some are knees, some are hip height. Whereas the American footballs, to your point earlier, they're very robotic. They get their swinging leg up to like chest height. So it's way longer and straighter. So we need to kind of adapt our swing a little bit to look a little bit more American. But I'm not getting lads to swing up to their chest, but just maybe we need to make a few little adjustments. But that was more technical than punting. But yeah, that's a bit of an insight into the mechanics of it, as they call it.
And I suppose the reason why you can only take the short amount of steps is because there's somebody coming to tackle you. You wouldn't have time to take the 7.
Yeah, you have a lad that is, excuse me, the defense is 7 yards away. So you know you need, so once the ball is snapped, so the ball's thrown back between the legs, you're taking your first step and the ball isn't on the ground. You're just approaching your teammate has his finger on the ground. It's called the spot. So you're taking that first half step, just approaching air, and then your second step, the ball starts to appear. And as you plant, your holder, the guy that's holding the ball, he has to like set it for you and get the angle of the ball set. And then that's as you're kicking it. So it all happens in 1.3 seconds and you have lads that are 7 yards away. Their biggest athletes are jumping, trying to block it. So you have to get it up. Your first job on a field goal is get the ball up and then get it straight. If you don't get it up, you're blocked. So like it's you have to get used to that as well. It's a little bit different. But again, talented ball strikers figure it out, as everyone, to be honest, has proven to me. So yeah, that's a good point though, around the height and trajectory.
And is that a challenge, I suppose, in terms of getting the Irish lads to kind of, I suppose, especially the lads who are maybe expert 45 takers or guys who've kicked in rugby or who have big soccer backgrounds, who have really good strikes off the ground. Is it a challenge to kind of, you know, finesse that to the demands of the game and also kind of tick the boxes for the American football coaches who are looking? Because I suppose they have a certain way of them looking how they want it to be kicked, but it probably isn't the best way, the way that they're looking for it to be kicked, from what I've seen anyway. There's a lot of soccer players who are kicking over in America in itself. Like, so are you trying to find that balance and trying to do enough to keep them happy and then try and keep lads' natural flow as well?
Yeah, exactly. I had a talk with the NFL UK. So the NFL Global is trying to take on more players. They're actually looking at GAA as well, but that would be for lads who are current inter-county players. That'll be another discussion. But anyway, what they're looking at, I told them, is like, if you guys are going to be opening this up and getting into top inter-county footballers, we can only, and if I'm involved, so I use the word we can only change our swing a small amount, because these lads have a swing that's embedded. If they're a 27-year-old, you know, their swing's pretty embedded in how they do it. And the reason I know that is because I went through it myself. I went to some kicking camps, bang it over from 50 yards, and I literally, a coach told me one day in Arizona, He's just like, no one's going to sign you if you kick like that. And I was like, but sure, went high straight down the middle. That's the job. And he's like, no, no one's going to sign you with those mechanics. I used to roll my left ankle and not extend my foot far enough. And I went into this rabbit hole for like 6 weeks trying to change my swing. And it was the most unproductive thing I ever did. I forgot how to kick a ball. There's nothing worse than standing behind a ball and you're thinking six different things. You're not just thinking bang it. You're thinking, you know, toe angle, foot extension, torso, shoulder, lean, transfer. Like even now it brings back nightmares thinking. It's just too much. So to your point, it's definitely a good question. You are trying to do enough that the American coaches won't be picking out too much, but almost the bare minimum, because you want lads to use their natural ball striking ability. That's why I'm working with them. That's why they're talking to an American coach. So yeah, they are very traditional, and that was something that frustrated the hell out of me, to be honest with you, because I was just like, at the end of the day, it's the yellow pipes, bang the ball between them, everyone cheers, move on. But it wasn't that simple. So it's I don't want to put lads through what I would put through, because it's just such a waste of time. And so, I imagine same in rugby, same in football. You just want to trust, you know, when it comes time to go, you just want to trust that you can just back yourself and hit it, you know. So,
yeah,
that's my take on that one. But definitely a good question, because I live that one.
Yeah, it's all the way you're describing all the different elements. It's almost like a golfer in terms of the way you want to approach it. But I suppose we had a podcast guest earlier in the series who's Martin Bennett's a speed coach. And like he was talking about the skill of sprinting, how it was a skill, and how like if you wanted to get someone, he gave the anecdote like of how that if you wanted someone to get better at kicking with their left foot, you wouldn't get them to do leg extension machine, you'd get them to practice kicking with their left foot. And he was saying the same with sprinting. If you want someone to get better at sprinting, they need to practice the skill of sprinting, not certain gym mechanics. But almost in American football, some of it kind of is so mechanical in the way that they look at it, that the feel kind of is taken out of it. But another Galway man, Shane McInerney's doing a bit of kicking in the indoor league, and he's been doing very, very well. And I've seen that he came across similar kind of challenges in terms of, you know, being a soccer player with a really sweet strike, and then trying to bring that across. But I suppose in terms of you were saying that you're hoping to have 10 or 12 in the next year. Like, are you going to try and do another call to action and get players back out again, or what's your hope with that?
Yeah. So the plan is, June, so July and August. Sorry, my ankles are cracking. That was part of the reason as well why I moved to American football. My body was banged up from rugby, so I was like, I can maybe find a sport where I don't have to get bloody hit. Anyway, but it is a benefit, especially if you're older like myself. But anyway, the plan is next month, so July and August, I'm going to visit 20 locations around the country. So north, south, east, west. I'm going to be within 45 minutes of you. Realistically, I'm going to be within 45 minutes of you. So when I get that out, it's Ireland's kicking king. I did something similar last year, is what we're calling it. It's like the kind of tagline as such. But basically, I want to, for all those lads in Kerry and up in Belfast and Donegal and Cavan and wherever else, Kilkenny, that have been reaching out to me that haven't, for fair enough reasons, haven't been able to make a session in Dublin every second week. That like there's going to be a session nearby you, and if you can't make that one, there's going to be one within an hour and a half then of you. So I'm going to go to 20 locations around the country, make it open to everyone, and just have everyone come kick. I'm going to have some cool stuff. Like, I'm hoping to get Elbury's, they're going to, you know, give prizes, and Delta Airlines are going to fly people over to America. I'm going to have some cool stuff as well, because, you know, I want to have something big on the line. So there's pressure, you know, you're kicking for something, you know. Flying potentially first class to New York doesn't sound bad. So lads would like that. So you're going to make a bit of pressure there, or like getting a nice brand new pair of Vapors if you nail this kick. So we're going to have some cool stuff going on. But yeah, the plan is in 3 weeks time, we'll start and then do 6 weeks on the road and just give everyone a fair chance. Everyone. And if you like it and you're good, great. If you try it and you're not good, at least you tried. And if you don't want to try, that's fine too. So I imagine I'm going to get around 400 people though, because just judging by the interest, I assume there'll be that kind of interest. And to be honest, I'd say 70% would be Gaelic footballers. And the good news is, like, the Gaelic football community, when I say community, I mean like the higher ups. I was taken around Croke Park on a tour there 2 weeks ago with that American coach that came over. People in the PA and stuff, touch base. Like, everyone's been sound. Because I think people get, like, the scale of the opportunity and the education side of it as well. So no one has been begrudging. Ross, I asked Ross that, was like, any backlash? And he's like, no, not at all. Everyone just said, sure, how could you fault a lad? I think is what he said, or something like that. So yeah, I'm hoping to get a lot of lads out, mostly Gaelic footballers, I reckon, but come along and give it a try. And like 5-7 of those lads, I'm no doubt, and then a few others might pick up elsewhere. Like, it would be a life-changing experience. Like, that I guarantee. I saw Ross live it, you know, when I was with them there last week. It was cool to see that, for me to see that. You know, I'm doing all this time, work, putting into it, but to see it unfold in front of me. This ginger fella on a pitch in California banging field goals, like, you know, and everyone being like, wow, that's amazing. So, like, watching him kick. So that was, you know, it's now it's very real. So hopefully more lads will recognize that and jump on board.
And what are the sort of things the lads could be doing to practice? Like you're saying about that snatch. So I suppose, especially for punters, again, if we stick with that, like what are the main things that they could be doing to practice on their own in preparation for something like that, an opportunity like that?
Yeah.
Or just to see if to test it out for themselves, to see if they are any good at it.
Yeah. What I was using initially was, like, if you can kick a 45 off the ground or out of your hand, like, it means you have enough leg power to at least consider it. So that was kind of like a metric I was using. But in terms of training, if you were able to get your hands on a ball, definitely get out punting. Or even if you're a footballer using a rugby ball, it's close enough. Just the idea of, if you're, for example, you know, if you're on the 45-yard line, that you can punt that ball and have it land around the goal line, say, roughly as a distance metric, that would be really good. And that would be really good. You can land it actually 10 yards short. Sorry, now I'm getting my metrics mixed up here. If you're on the 65-yard line, that's what it is, the 65, and you can drop it kind of within 10 yards of the goal line, that would be good. That would be really good. That would definitely warrant, like, I should explore this further. And then in terms of swing, just swing like you would a Gaelic football. I wouldn't even give any more coaching points than that, because to your point, lads are natural. So, like, and you might miss hit 3 or 4, but you're like, we have, to your point again, we have that touch. Like, we have that, like, natural ability to kind of figure out what's wrong and just swing and fix it, versus the Americans are, they look at you and say, hey, coach, what? And they break things down and not have a clue. They don't have the feel and the touch of the ball to figure that out. So I wouldn't even give them any coaching points. I just give those kind of metrics from a distance, or on a rugby pitch, punt on the halfway line, try and drop it around the try line. That's all I'd say on that. And keep an eye out for when we get rolling soon.
And a lot of the interest that you've got, has it been from kind of lads kind of the kind of background of Ross and Ronan in terms of intercounty underage players? Have you had any interest from, like, current senior intercounty players as well? I suppose we're seeing some of the goalkeepers from hand and foot, like, kicking some massive scores the last couple of years. Have you been getting much interest from current intercounty players as well?
Yeah, and I'm conscious they're all playing games, so I'll respect that and not say it, but their names. But yeah. Like, say 12 or 13 big names. Oh, sorry, maybe like 20, 30 lads, but quite a few lads, said some All Ireland winners, some All Stars. Because I think they see the opportunity. You know, some of them, I would say, are thinking, is there a scope for the NFL type of stuff, not college, just because they could be 27, 28, and they could be, you know, working a job. But some of them are intercounty players who maybe haven't gone to college. So get this, if you haven't gone to college, you can be 27 years of age and play, have full eligibility to play, like, you know, college football for 4 years. Some lads retire from the AFL, 24, 25, injured, got released, whatever. They then punt for a year, train 6 months to a year, and then they go play college football for 4 years. They graduate around 30. And then they maybe might try and go pro for 2 or 3 years. Like, there's no age limit. The only limit for college is your academic eligibility, which means, you know, when did you first enroll in college? So if you've never enrolled in college, no matter what age you are, you can do this. If you enrolled in college, say, more than 6 years ago, it would be less likely. There's still a chance, but less likely to work for you. If you're a 17-year-old who's in sixth year and you haven't been to college yet, like, you know, or you're in your first, second year of college, they're the lads, you know, that could have the most to gain. Ross and Ronan are both going to do master's degrees because they only have 2 years of eligibility because they went to college for 3 years in Ireland. But yeah, anyway, that's kind of a look. But yeah, there's a load of minor players in the emails, and then decent amount of senior lads, and some of them, yeah, are big names that But will nothing be happening there until after the All-Ireland? Because after, you know, after, because lads have stuff going on, so obviously they're focused. But yeah, I'd say watch this space with regards to that.
Yeah, yeah, and you're looking to facilitate that move as well between for them few players who'd be able to go try and get something straight into NFL as well.
Yeah, there's a pathway. So there's basically something called the International Player Pathway Program. And what that is, basically every NFL team, you know, sorry, 13, the NFL's in conferences, and every year one conference gets an extra player on their roster who doesn't count as a player on the roster, if that makes sense. So they're like a free player, and they have to be a foreigner. And you get 15 and a half grand a week, I think. So you don't play games, but you're just training full-time in the NFL. Now, if the team picks you play, but like you're not expected to play year one. It's a three-year gig. Yeah, you're not expected to play year one. And it's always been for non-kickers and punters, basically. They haven't taken kickers and punters because I tried desperately to get in because it's like it's almost a free shot. As long as you're good enough, you meet the metrics. But like it's meant for guys that haven't gone to college. And the NFL owners met last month to see if they're going to expand the program to have all 32 teams with this roster spot. And if they have, if all 32 teams need it now, there isn't 32 foreign wide receivers, basically fast guys or big guys, we just call them. There isn't enough of those to be that are good enough to go into an NFL environment. So they thought, what's the quickest way in? Potentially, it's going to be Gaelic football, rugby and soccer players who can kick. So that is an ongoing discussion that I'm in the middle of, and the Gaelic football lads would be an obvious group to at least offer the opportunity to. And then if lads are good enough, be unreal for them. The lads that I talked to, that again, like they're big names, and you know, they said, look, if something like this came along, like you, A, how wouldn't you give it a go? And B, I don't think anyone could give out to you for getting an opportunity at that scale. But like a Premier League team coming along saying, actually, do you fancy joining us? You know, be like, you'd be mad not to. Like, it's literally the scale of it. So fingers crossed we have some updates on that sooner rather than later. But it'd be class. And it'd be good for the sport in Ireland, and just it'd be good for Gaelic football in Ireland and America as well. You know, the sport's played everywhere. But it would just grow everything. I was playing Gaelic football in hurling in Hartford, Connecticut 2 weeks ago. We were in town with Ross and Roland, the local GA club, said, lads, you want to come down on a Saturday morning? So we went down and met them and stuff. So it's cool as well as a way to like reconnect with Irish Americans to football and Gaelic football.
I suppose you were saying that some of them Australian players had literally gone that route, and they'd done, you know, a little bit of college, and then they'd at 30 gone and done a year or two at pro. Like, give us an idea of like how much money a kicker could get even in a year or two, because I suppose you'd be made for life after a year or two of contract in the NFL.
I think the minimum you can be paid in the NFL is around 800,000 a year, and that's 6 months. So I think that's the minimum. Like a good kicker would get 3 to 5 million. Again, 6 months. And if you spend 3 years, if you play one game over three seasons, you get the NFL pension, which is a few hundred grand a year. It's life changing money. Let alone then, imagine being an Irish guy in the NFL, the amount of other auxiliary things that will come your way in the off season. So the minimum salary is like 700,000-800,000. So that's not a bad starting point.
Yeah. And for Ross, I suppose, just to give it kind of an insight, I suppose, I know we're kind of talking about how easy it is for the Irish lads because we're, you know, naturally punting and stuff like that. But I suppose since you first kind of met him a couple of months ago, like how much work has he had to do on his own in terms of practicing and in terms of, like just give us an insight in terms of like daily, hourly, like in terms of how much work he has gone into making this a reality.
Yeah, so, I mean, he stopped playing football, Gaelic football, because he knew to do this. Like, as I've probably said three times now, a scholarship is worth a few hundred grand. So like you treat this like you're potentially signing a contract with a few hundred grand. So as a result, you're doing 2 to 3 kicking sessions a week, one or two with me and then maybe one by yourself. It's very exacting. Like, we track load, you train a load in terms of rep count to your kick rep count, because you do get a big strain. Obviously, it's just so repetitive, and it's at max effort every time. You know, you're not playing a 10-yard pass on the outside of your foot. You know, you're hitting 80% to 100% every impact. So yeah, it'd be around three kicking sessions a week. And then the strength and conditioning would be similar enough to football. Well, you're not running, but in terms of in the gym, you know, your lifting is very serious. Recovery is probably one that lads don't understand how important it is until they properly get into this, because if you need to be firing a kickoff, for example, after you score, so you put the ball on a tee and you belt it downfield. Like, if you kick a ball 2 yards shorter than your normal distance, say, you know, your coaches would be they'd be saying, what the hell's wrong here? Like, they, you know, 2 yards doesn't seem like much, but it shows up quickly. So the idea of being recovered and ready to go is actually I underestimated it, to be honest, at the beginning. So like, that's actually a huge part of it, getting yourself ready to go. So when you're not kicking, you're basically recovering, getting your legs up, your Normatec or active recovery or yoga. A lot of active stretching actually is quite big, just to help with that range of motion. When we talked about probably 20 minutes ago, that flexibility through our hips, we try and make it easier by doing those things. And one of the biggest things is the mental side of it, to be honest. And not one of the biggest. To go pro, as I learned, there is 100 guys you can kick to a pro level, but like, it's to be one of those few that make it is like, when the chips, as Americans say, when the chips are down, kind of what's going to happen and how do you react? And that was a skill that I had to learn. And I learned it by reading, by podcasts, by talking to different people. So I try and put the lads in that arena or in that headspace as much as possible, because Ross is going to face a scenario live on ESPN with, you know, a few million people watching and X amount of thousands in the stands screaming abuse at him. Like, you know, how do you zone? How do you connect to your breath? And how do you connect to your process? It's one thing saying it. It's another thing actually knowing how to do it. So that's something that we kind of look at as well. So I treat the lads like the professional. It's professional. Like, it has to be treated as professional, because if you don't, you won't get the offer. So it's serious. Noah, though, just to give it a bit of the side of the coin, Noah is still playing Dublin Minors at the minute. So he's been able to train way less. As a result, probably isn't, you know, hasn't accelerated as fast as he's extremely talented. The lad is very, very good, but just naturally enough, hasn't been able to invest the same amount of time. So you can't expect the same outcome. So there's not a shortcut to this. Maybe Division 3 or Division 2, you might find a shortcut, not the Division 1. Because the Americans aren't great kickers, but there's thousands of them. And there's only a couple of hundred spots. And now all the Aussies are coming, and now we're coming. So D1 is ultra competitive. So we need to be outliers in terms of, we need to be able to kick a bit further, higher, more effectively and consistently to actually get a D1 offer. So it's competitive, but the journey's class is good crack, and the rewards are obvious, to be honest.
Yeah, and I suppose that, which you would obviously understand from the rugby, like that professional mindset as well. I suppose that's one of the challenges that some GA players had gone over to AFL even, is that I suppose there's a difference with playing GA because you love it and like committing, you know, the evenings of the week. But when you're a pro, you're training several times a day, and you need to kind of have that different kind of mindset, that it's a lot of loving the process, I suppose, more so than loving the game. Because, yeah, like, as you, yeah, some of the guys might even know what the rules are, but like, you have to love that process. And I suppose you're weeding that out by picking the guys who are putting their hand up and really making the effort to want it.
Yeah, it's intense. I'm not going to lie. Like, it can be a fun environment, but it's definitely an intense environment, especially when all your unfortunately, coaches get fired all the time in college football, or like most pro sports, but American pro sports is different. And excuse me, college is not pro, but the pro coaches are pro. So they're getting fired all the time. So like, you know, you're especially as a kicker punter, you deal with your special teams coordinator. And, you know, there's examples where the special teams coordinator has just moved to a new program and brought his wife and his two kids, and they're just enrolled in elementary school or like locally, and he signed a 3-year deal. But if you as the kicker are underperforming, a punter underperforming, the special teams coach, eventually he's going to be like, sort your shit out. And if you don't, you know, there's pressure put on you there. They're not going to pull your scholarship, but I mean, there's pressure on comes in the special teams coordinator, which can filter down to you. So how do you deal with that? And then also the other side of it is like the pressure of just big games. But as I say, the lads, like, that's what we want. We want those high pressure moments in game, because that means the opportunity that sits in front of us. If there's big pressure, that means something must be happening. So there's an opportunity for, yes, maybe something to go wrong, but also something to go right and be unbelievable. And like, we see it from that lens. We don't see what happens if I miss, or like that negative side of things, like opportunity. And one of my biggest things I tell the lads is like, it can be quite a vulnerable thing, you know, like all eyes on you. Like, you know, it's just the game stops and you're a golfer all of a sudden stepping onto the pitch and everyone else stops. So like, it can be quite vulnerable, but like my big tagline I used to use myself and write it down every game, every training session, and I read it on the sideline because you have time. It's all about like embracing that vulnerability, because like in that vulnerable state is where like unbelievable things can happen. And I got to experience it that day. I got to kick that game winner. I wouldn't have had the bottle to do that, I don't think, 2 years earlier. I think that would have been too much for me. But like I learned and then, you know, how to deal with this, prepared myself through training, and that was mental training. I remember walking onto the pitch that day and being like, this is fucking class, excuse me. This is class. Like, I have the opportunity to bang a game winner here. Like, I had to learn how to get there. So some guys have it naturally, but not everyone does. So that's a huge part of the process as well, is putting pressure on lads, not expecting everyone to know how to deal with it off the bat. I will say Ross can. As the pressure gets higher, Ross gets better, which is really, really good. But if that's not you, we can also work on that. But as long as you're willing to work on it, I can help you. If you're not, well, then I'm not going to waste my time, because this is so, what we're building here is going to be huge. But everyone that I work with that goes over needs to be a quality human and a quality performer. If you're not one of those, if you don't offer one of those, you're not going to go, or I'm not going to help you go. You find your own way if you do. So I'm very protective of that. You know, I have to be not harsh, but I have to be very picky in who I work with.
Yeah. And you've that experience of what it takes to be a pro, and then obviously seeing especially what happens over there. So it was the last question I wanted to ask you was, you mentioned Australia has, you know, 100 kickers over there, and you know, most of them punters. Like, there's obviously more numbers over in Australia, but like, what's in terms of just general population, but like, what's the goal, like overall, that you see, like, you know, 5 years time, 10 years time for a leader kicker?
I was thinking that, like, I hope next year to get to a point where I'm sending 10 guys a year. So in 10 years, that's over 100 guys, which would probably equate to, like, I think it's like $30-something million of scholarship funds, you know, received, or, you know, that we haven't paid. I think that's, I mean, I kind of did some rough math, but I was thinking in 10 years, having over 100 guys gone, and of that 100, maybe 10, 12 getting a legitimate shot at the pros. I think that would be, because be, like, if it's more, great, but I was thinking that would be, and then obviously, so that would be class having, because what's never happened, there's never been an Irish born player who's been raised in Ireland and trained in Ireland to go play D1 college football or pro. That's never happened. Every other Irish lad has left when they were a teenager, they've moved to a different country to learn the sport, like me actually. No one's been introduced in Ireland, trained in Ireland, so pure Irish across the board. So I think that's going to be a class to have that happen. But yeah, that's my goal. Like, 10 years time, I'd say, yeah, over 100 lives changed through our ability to kick a ball that in 2022 we didn't even know was a thing. And hopefully then some lads, as they say in America, playing on Sundays, which just means playing in the NFL. So never know, Ross Bolger to win the first Irishman to win a Super Bowl, I'll call that now. No pressure, Ross.
It's wild though when you think of it though, because like, the American football is based around like being incredible at one thing. Like, so as you said, like being a beast, being really strong, like you could make a career out of it, being ridiculously fast, make a career out of it, being an unbelievable jumper, but like likewise being an unbelievable kicker. And as you said, people don't even realize that like we've been producing that naturally over here for years, like, so yeah. But no, it's a brilliant opportunity for people like that, and it's great like for you to be able to kind of explain that fully, because I do know that because of the lack of knowledge about the sport, even though a lot of young people are obsessed with NFL now at the moment, but because of the lack of knowledge across the board with the sport, people don't fully understand the opportunity.
Yeah, no, I'd agree, and that's one of the, and that's what I'm delighted A, you do, and then B, getting to chat to you and the people that are listening to it, is hopefully they might give college football a Google and then just see what you see. And pretty quickly, as you said, it's not the serious or whatever. Yeah, I use the Premier League analogy because I think you'll watch it and see it yourself. So yeah, I just hope lads just, and I say to loads of people, just be in life, it's good to be curious in general, like just, you know, question things. So like, just have a look at it. And if it's for you, great. If it's not, at least you tried. So yeah, that's probably my part. Oh, and obviously just to the best place to know, I'm sure you're going to ask it, but I'll just get someone. Yeah, the best place to kind of keep up to date with it is just follow on social media, Leader Kicking. Instagram mainly, or my name is Tide Leader. So on Twitter, I actually use my own personal account, but that's where we're going to be posting all the updates and everything like that. So I can shoot us a DM if you have a question. And I get back, well, to be honest, actually, I've been pretty bad at getting back of late since we got back from this trip because it's exploded. But we'll have camps and stuff across the country, so everyone's going to get a crack off it, which I think will be class.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And thanks so much for your time, Ty, because I know you've been flat out since you got back. But yeah, it's going to be exciting just following it for the next. We'll just see how the lads get on now, and then the next crop coming through and stuff like that. Like, you can only really see it getting bigger and bigger. Like, so, but yeah, thanks so much for your time.
So, man, cheers. Thank you.